Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
Every time I think of this song, I remember Catherine Coleman. How many of you ever watched Catherine Coleman? You should just go to YouTube and look up Catherine Coleman and see this most unusual woman. And I just remember as a child watching on TV with my mom, Catherine Coleman come on, and she was kind of scary looking, but intriguing. And she would always have this, her hand crooked, and she would say, "Hi," like Nora Desmond, when Carol Burnett played Nora Desmond with the eyes bugged out, right? I believe in miracles. And I remember getting this book that my mom had, I Believe in Miracles, and reading through it as a preteen, and just so captivated by the miraculous and how real it was and how she walked in it and made me believe that it is available for today. This is not just something that went away when Jesus went away. It didn't end with the disciples. It's still alive and well in the earth, the intention of God for this planet. I believe in miracles. Today, I'm going to talk to you about the power of the testimony. And testimonies, I believe, you've heard me say it, testimony, really one of my favorite definitions of the word testimony means do it again. Yeah. A testimony will create an atmosphere for the miraculous to be activated. Yeah. And so I'm going to share a couple of testimonies. We've cast the net and asked you to send in some testimonies. I want to share a couple of them with you today. I'm going to start with one, and then I'll end with one. This email came in from Tanika, Washington. Where are you, Tanika? There you are. Tanika. Everybody say Tanika. Yeah. I love this story. I wanted to share my recent testimony and miracle. On May 1st, 2018, I was displaced from the apartment building that I had just moved into on April 27th, 2018. I mean, literally, just days. And she was displaced because of a fire. The night before the fire, I felt the Lord urging me to read Psalm 91 and anoint my apartment. I actually tried to brush it off because I was exhausted and had previously read the same verse and anointed my apartment. I knew I would not be able to rest until I obliged. Do you ever feel that way? You feel God nudging you and you're like, I'm too tired. Then you're just like, I just have to push myself and get out of bed and do what I feel God telling. I've been there, so I appreciate this. I felt obliged, so I did. Unbeknownst to me, the building would have a bad fire the next day. Thank the Lord I was obedient. Once the county allowed access to the building, I had 48 hours to find a restoration company and have them retrieve my items. It took from May through the end of August to have my items fully restored. However, through this process, I learned about God's restoration. All of my items were returned in a better condition than when I had lost them. Before that, I had to purchase everything, clothes, shoes, toiletries, and more until I got my belongings back. I submitted receipts to the insurance company and was waiting to be reimbursed, but the insurance company was not reimbursing me. Ultimately, I had to get an attorney. Around this January, I was tired and just about ready to give up. Then Pastor John preached, "Look again." You remember that? And I felt the Lord prompting me to call my attorney to have him contact the insurance company. I did, and as a result, I finally received my reimbursement check a year and a half later. Yeah. Praise the Lord, I am finally finished with this chapter. Also, I wanted to share a testimony regarding my mother. This is a double whammy testimony. She has had issues with her left eye for years and was praying about healing or having surgery. I submitted her request on our prayer card, and the first time she visited Dwell, Pastor John touched her and declared healing. Also, when Pastor David would share his testimony and other testimonies, I would tell her about them. She came in town for our conference and said she was healed of the double vision in her eye. Then she went home and was scheduled for surgery. We were praying for a surgery without complications and speedy recovery. And the surgery was successful. Not only that, but her recovery and post-op opportunities went well. Praise God and thank you for your prayers. Okay, just, I know we've ministered to people already with serious conditions. I just want to, for my own thought process, I want to know how many people in the room have a need that is impossible for you to see. You don't see how it's going to happen. It looks like an impossibility. If you have one of those kind of needs, one of those kind of miracles, I want you to stand. It's going to take God. It's going to take God to accomplish this. This is something extraordinary beyond what I'm able to do to make it happen. It will take God. I want you to look around and I want you to see. So you can sit back down. We're gonna come back to you before this is over because I feel like God wants us to activate some things in the room today and believe that God is going to meet you at this place of the impossible. I like this passage of scripture. Revelations, the 12th chapter, the 11th verse, King James Version. And they overcame him. We can all almost say this without looking. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And we skip this next part. We never say this part. And they did not love their lives to the death. I'm going to read it again and add some context to it so you can see where this is placed in the book of Revelations. I want to read it from the Message translation this time. I like this picture. I love this story. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back, but were no match for Michael. They were cleared out of heaven, not a sign of them left. The great dragon, ancient serpent, the one called devil and Satan, the one who led the whole earth astray, thrown out, and all his angels thrown out with him, thrown down to earth. Then I heard a strong voice. Somebody say, strong voice. I heard a strong voice out of heaven saying, salvation and power are established. Kingdom of our God, authority of his Messiah, the accuser of our brothers and sisters thrown out, who accused them day and night before God. They defeated him through the blood of the Lamb and the bold word of their witness. They weren't in love with themselves. They were willing to die for Christ. So theologians will look at this passage of scripture and some will say, okay, when is this? When, what are we talking about? I want you, it doesn't matter whether this is in the future or it's something that's already happened. This is God revealing the nature of the power of his blood and the word of your mouth. The word of your testimony, the power of your witness. In Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, verse 21 says, and this is also the Message, set up signposts to mark your trip home. Get a good map. Study the road conditions. The road out is the road back. It's important with our testimonies that we put up signposts in our life so we can see where we came from. And we can know that we can always return to that place of faith, to that place of victory, and remember what God did. Testimony really is simply someone telling about the great things of God, the greatness, the goodness of God. A testimony is sharing with someone about the great things of God. The power of declaration. We've shared with you before, every night, we believe in this. I believe that it matters what you say. Yeah. And we know that our little Carson, who is 11 now, and God doing a great work in his life. We've watched God do so much in this little boy on the autism spectrum, but we just keep declaring over him again and again. Every day, the healing hand of the Lord upon him. At one of these days, we're gonna come to church with this incredible testimony that something clicked in Carson's brain, and we will see it. And here's the deal: the reason I believe it because I have a friend in Nashville who plays an instrument and travels with Michael McDonald. He used to live down in Austin, and now he's living in Nashville. They had a son on the autism spectrum, and I think maybe it was 13 years old. He will now tell his dad, "Dad, I remember when I felt the tightness in my brain go away." It's like, and he was healed. God heals autism. So this is how we've been preparing for Carson's miracle. Every night. We started when he was about 4 years old, and we've added some phrases as we go along, but he gets it, and he memorizes it, and every night he prays. Of course, he starts with, "I thank you for my brother and sister." He says brother and sister before mom and dad. "I thank you for my brother and sister. I thank you for my mom and dad. Watch over our doors and windows. Keep us safe." Then he'll repeat that. Then he'll say, "Watch over our doors and windows and our neighborhood. And keep us safe." Then he'll say, "I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because I am a champion." Then he'll clap his hands. "I have an open heaven over me." Every time he never says this, that he doesn't clap his hands. "I have an open heaven over me. Angels going up. Angels coming down." Every night. Then he claps his hand and he says, "I receive my healing. I have the mind of Christ. I have a healthy brain." Then he finishes with, and he prays some other things, but then these are his declarations. He says, "My words have power, so I make my declaration." In Jesus' name, amen. Then we snuggle, and I snort in his ear, and he giggles, and then he snorts in my ear, and I pretend to fall out of the bed on the floor, and he laughs, and then I kiss him, and then he goes to sleep. That's part of our ritual, and I love it. I love it. But I believe, and you've heard me share this before, the power of the spoken word. We could start with the miracles of the Bible. I mean, let's talk about Moses. Let's talk about Moses. I mean, we've got water turned into blood. We got a staff turned into a snake that gobbled up the other snakes when Pharaoh's men threw their staffs down and turned into snakes. Well, the snake said, "Okay, I still got you." All of these incredible miracles. Let's talk about manna. Every morning, waking up with this something on the ground that they could eat. A cloud by day and a fire by night. This supernatural phenomenon that they lived with. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. Moses strikes a rock and sweet water comes out. And then they get to the Red Sea, and the waters part. And not only the Red Sea, when they come to the conclusion of their sojourn in the wilderness, 80 years later, he splits the Jordan River at the same time. I remember when I was a kid, my dad would tell the story about Jordan, and people would try to explain it away. Well, you know, you've got to understand that time of the year, like the person knew what time of the year it was, that time of the year, you know, the water was only a few inches deep. And my dad just started rejoicing. And they were like, because they were trying to shoot down this whole thought process. My dad just started rejoicing. And we're like, what are you rejoicing about? He said, God drowned all those people in about 3 inches of water. But but see, my dad had that part wrong because that's not where Pharaoh's army was. Pharaoh's army wasn't at the Jordan River, but that was my dad's answer to that. But God could have drowned them in 3 inches of water. and then I mean, we've got Elijah making an axe head swim, just declaring a word and sticks a stick down in the water and the axe head swims. And it had to do with debt. This man owed, this belonged to someone, and he would be in debt. So that is every indication that God cares about your debt. Wow. He cares. Now, we make stupid decisions sometimes and spend what we don't have, but God cares about your situation. So the axe head swims. What is that? All of the miracles that Elijah performed, the miracles of Jesus. I mean, he's walking in the street and there's a dead child on a stretcher they're carrying through the street, and he stops the processional and speaks life. Or he goes to the home and raises the child, and they laugh at him because they said, oh, she's not dead, she's just sleeping. But he goes through all of these amazing, incredible miracles, revealing to us what is available to us as people. See, this is Jesus. Yes, he was God, but when he was on this planet, he was all man, and he was here as a man to show us what it's like for a man to be completely dependent on the voice of God. Every miracle he performed, he didn't perform as God. He performed as a man. He said, I don't do anything except what I hear the Father say. He showed us what it's like when you listen to the voice of God and what a man can do on this planet. And he even said, greater things will you do because I go to the Father. Greater things. Everybody say, greater things shall you do because I go. I have to leave so that you can do this. I must leave, but I'm equipping you to do this. There is, you know, when someone comes to us with an impossibility, I just start jumping inside. Okay, God, this is your turn. This is about you. This is not about me. And impossibilities mean absolutely nothing. Okay, let me keep going here. So because of all of this, many of us, I would say, we all believe that God can do anything, right? There's nobody here that thinks God can't do anything. Did I say that right? Was that good grammar? I don't know. Everybody believes that God can do anything, right, in the room? We would, if we were put before a group of people to debate what we believe, we would fight for what we believe in. Because we know. Because we have encountered the presence of the Lord enough to know, and I know for myself the way I was trained and what I witnessed. But these stories in the Bible gripped me as a child. Yeah. I mean, David and a giant, yeah, and the extraordinary skill with one sling, and this giant is dead. Surely the hand of God was upon him. So I believe in miracles. I would fight for what I believe in, but how many people in the church never see it for themselves? How many of us have dialed down our prayer time because we prayed enough prayers and didn't get the result? So we would rather not pray than to have to make excuses for our lack of proof. So we just kind of, we get into this coasting mode when God is calling us. I have equipped you for this. My son, my daughter, I have equipped you for this. So I find myself now, as a kid, I remember I had to be 4 or 5 years old, and an evangelist was at our church over in McKinney. It was this little tiny church, maybe as big as this middle section. You might get 100 people in the room, maybe. But I remember there was an evangelist and a girl I watched her leg grow out on the altar sitting up at the front. That's when we had those wooden benches that we'd come down, and I would come down every time we had an altar call. I'd come get saved every Sunday. But on that altar, this girl was sitting, and I watched her leg grow out. I remember when I was 13 years old, my dad raised this woman from the dead. She had a tumor on her brain the size of a grapefruit, and she died. And so not only did she come back to life, she went to the doctor that week, and the tumor was gone. I remember miracle after miracle, seeing the faith of my father, seeing my mom and dad both shake heaven with their prayer life. I remember my mom being healed of sugar diabetes. You don't get healed of sugar diabetes, they say. But my mom was healed of sugar diabetes. I remember when I was 13, I had severe migraine headaches. And there was a woman pastor in Temple, Texas, who took me by the hand at church, and she just talked to me. She said, "Now, David, you don't like these headaches, do you?" And I said, "No, ma'am." "Well, I just want you to know, you're never going to have another headache again." And I never did, never have another migraine. I've had sinus headaches this week. but I mean, if you've ever struggled with migraines, you know how debilitating they can be. And I remember missing in fifth grade, I missed 6 weeks of school with migraines. And but I received healing in my body. I'm kind of jumping all over the place. When I'm about to start first grade, I have this condition with my kidney, born with a hole in my kidney. And one day I woke up from a nap in excruciating pain, and my dad came home from work, and the second he started praying, he put his hand on my stomach, and the second he started praying, the pain left, and I started playing. A couple weeks later, I had to go. I was scheduled for surgery already for them to close this hole, and they go in there. We're like, "We're just going to take some x-rays to check out, you know, the condition, if it's grown or whatever," and they spent 2 hours trying to find the hole. If you would go visit my dad in the nursing home today, he would tell you that he would quote Isaiah 57. Is that what it is? 57? Something where he says, "I will create the fruit of your lips." I will, except he says it real southern. "I will create whatever you say." The Lord's, you know, he goes through this whole thing, and it's just like by rote. He talks about declaring with your mouth. And I'm like, "Dad, you told me this 20,000 times, but he's telling me like it's the first time, because, you know, it's sweet. And he'll start telling me miracles that happened 40 years ago that I've heard, but he's telling me like I don't know. But it's because my dad walked this life of faith, and what remains in his memory are the miracles. I like that. So that's, you know, my dad's in this lane, and I have developed my gifting in this realm of worship and experiencing the presence of God. And I think this is my role in the church. And I got to take people into his presence, and then somebody else can get up and minister healing. And I remember I remember being in Las Vegas. Where are you, Leon? Somewhere. There's Lisa. There he is. I remember being in Las Vegas maybe 18, 19, 20 years ago. And Bill Johnson was speaking and talking about miracles that were happening in Redding, California. This was before any of the success that Bethel Church is experiencing today, before Bethel Music was Bethel Music. This was a revival of miracles breaking out in Redding, California. And I was just stirred in the service listening to these testimonies of miracles. Listening to them, I'm like, this is my inheritance. This is my inheritance. An inheritance is something that you get that you don't have to work for. It's just something. Woo! It is something that at a point in your life, when the revelation really strikes home, you look through your things and you discover what's always been there, your little access card. And your little PIN number, you can access the kingdom and put in your number. I'm just giving you a metaphor. But the metaphor is your declaration. You put in the spoken word. See, the word tells us in Proverbs that angels give heed to the voice of his word. Angels are poised, waiting to hear what's going to come out of your mouth, so that heaven can go into action based on your declaration. This is my belief. Most of our angels have been bored with our life, bored with our conversation, waiting for us to discover our voice, waiting for us to rise up and realize who we are. Realize what account we have access to. And when declarations are made, so this is my experience. I remember having this thing. And so I remember we would go, we'd travel all over, and I would it started out like this. We would be getting ready to lead worship, and maybe we'd sing two or three songs, and then I would say, I declare to you today that the power of God is returning to the church, and we will see. And I was declaring something in the future still, but it became the beginning of my declaration, and I would declare it and declare it. And this is what's coming back to the church. And I found myself on March 19th over at Danny Wegman's church in Mesquite, Texas. I want to say 15, 18 years ago on a Sunday morning. And I was standing at the keyboard, we're getting ready to worship, and the declaration started coming, and I said, I declare while we worship today that the healing touch of God is in the room, and while we worship, healing will break out. People will be healed while we worship. I said that. I made that declaration. And I remember being at the keyboard thinking, oh God, what if nothing happens? And then it was just a thought. I didn't say it. I thought it. But then I thought, what if something does? And I just started worshiping. Hit the keyboard. It went deep fast. It was a mess. It was a messy worship service. About an hour and a half, mucus everywhere. Bishop Garlington says a real sign of a move of God is mucus. We get to the end of the worship thing, and I forgot what I had said. But the pastor gets up and said, I just want to know, did anybody get healed during the worship? And there was a man about 60 years old on this side of the church, came running to the front, and he said, when I was 19 years old, I damaged my rotator cuff lifting weights. I've had 3 surgeries, and they never could correct it. And I could only move my arm at about a 90-degree angle. And when I did, it would feel like a dagger stabbing in my shoulder. But when he said that and started worshiping, I felt a heat in my shoulder. And something popped. And he said, he start spinning his arm like this. Haven't been able to do this for 40 years. I'm back there at the keyboard, and I'm just in on the inside. I go, there's one. There were other miracles. People came forward and other miracles. I went home. We lived in Nashville at the time. We went home, and at our church, Nicole and I are just singing. We're not leading. We're just singing with the worship team. And sweet presence of the Lord, and the pastor turns. There's a pause, turns and says, David, do you have anything you want to share? I says, well, let me tell you what happened at church on Sunday. Let me give you this testimony. And I told what happened, and as I gave the testimony, it may have taken 2 minutes. There's a man sitting by the soundboard, like a little closer than Michael Winters is now, but sitting back by the sound booth, and he had damaged his knee, and it was swollen 3 times the size of the other knee. I gave this testimony, and his knee snapped, and he was instantly healed. Just in the atmosphere of a testimony. The power released in the testimony. That next Sunday, we're in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. I give the same testimony. There's a 40-year-old karate instructor on this side of the church. There's an 18-year-old high school football player on this side of the church, both with damaged rotator cuffs. At the same time, both of their shoulders popped and they were healed. So, I've seen hundreds of shoulders get healed. And this has been my experience. Just sharing the story. If anybody in the room right now have a problem with your shoulder, my experience is just sharing the testimony. Now, this is, of course, this has been my experience on the road. Because this is a new dynamic for Nicole and I. We started developing this, and every time we would declare healing would be released in his presence in worship, somebody always got healed. So we may not find out for 2 or 3 weeks, but somebody always got healed. And we've been digging for that here at Dwell. We've seen it. I've seen it. We talk about the miracles in the Bible, and I talk about the faith of my father, and then digging this out for myself. And so what I'm trying to do, Dwell Church, is develop a culture of miners, of people that will dig it out for themselves and decide, I think I'm going to try that. I think I'll try that. Who knows? Who knows what wife might pray for a husband and a miracle break out right in your home? You don't even have to be here. This is the culture. This is what we have been called to do. Paul wrote about being written epistles. Written in our hearts, not with ink or paper. But people would be written testimonies, written by God. Let me read this portion of scripture, 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, starting with verse 1. This is the Message translation. Does it sound like we're patting ourselves on the back, insisting on our credentials, asserting our authority? Well, we're not. Neither do we need letters of endorsement, either to you or from you. You yourselves are all the endorsement we need. Your very lives, Dwell Church, are a letter that anyone can read by just looking at you. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit. Not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives, and we publish it. We couldn't be more sure of ourselves in this, that you, written by Christ himself for God, are our letter of recommendation. We wouldn't think of writing this kind of letter about ourselves. Only God can write such a letter. His letter authorizes us to help carry out this new plan of action. The plan wasn't written out with ink on paper with pages and pages of legal footnotes killing your spirit. It's written with spirit on spirit. His life on our lives. That's funny that you just said that, because that's got what I've got written right here. I am living proof. I am living proof. My God is on the move. There's nothing that he can't do. Faith, rise up. Faith, rise up. I love the bridge. I am a walking, talking, living, breathing, hallelujah. I'm putting the hallelujah instead of testimony. I am a walking, talking, living, say testimony. Testimony. I see heads still wanting more of this song. Okay. Let me wrap this up a little bit. Revelations. I think I'm just supposed to say Revelation. I put an S on it, but that's the Southerner in me, I guess. Revelation verse 19, chapter 19, verse 10. King James Version says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Everybody say, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What does that mean? Telling others about the miracles in your life makes God more real to them. Hear me. Telling others about the miracles in your life makes God more real to the people you're talking to. As people hear about God's supernatural acts, they start to expect and see the extraordinary happen. As you share your story, you actually release the spirit of prophecy and declare into the atmosphere, the Jesus who transformed me can transform you. Yes. Your spiritual birthright, your inheritance, is to experience and release the power of Jesus. Share your story. Watch these prophecies of God's power set your world on fire. When you declare it, you release this prophetic unction to the listener that causes them to see something they didn't see before. Testimony prophesies God's intent and nature to everyone who hears. Our faith can be ignited through the power of a story. When you hear the testimony of what God has done, the anointing on the testimony opens a realm of possibility. Did you hear what I just said? Get this, when you hear the testimony of what God has done, the anointing on the testimony opens a realm of possibility. Okay, I'm going to finish with this. Testimonies, I mean, we're talking about what I've been sharing have been these physical things happening. But one of the greatest miracles, and this is not a default statement, is when someone's life is radically changed from a life of sin to a life of freedom. There, Bill Johnson says, there are a lot of unbelieving believers in the church that recite a prayer with their intellect at the end of a service and say, okay, you're saved. But if you don't pray the prayer and connect with your heart and transformation doesn't come, you'll never know what transformation looks like when you've seen somebody pulled out of hell. Somebody bound by demonic forces set free. When you've seen someone just lost, acknowledge, I'm a mess. I just had a funny memory that I'm not going to share. I can't say it. There's a bad word in it. It was this old Native American at a revival we were having with my dad when I was like 15 up in Boise, Idaho. And he's at the altar crying out, "Oh God," bellering, "God, you know I've never been nothing but an all." And then he said a bad word. I'm not going to tell you what the bad word was, but we were laughing at church. But to watch somebody so harsh and abrasive be transformed by the Spirit of God and become born again, it's an incredible, every encounter is supernatural. Every encounter is supernatural, whether it's an issue of your heart, if it's, it could be an emotional wound. It could be a marriage ripped to shreds by deceit or hurt or anguish. So I want to say this, and then I want to read one final testimony, and then we're going to pray. Pain will travel through families until someone is brave enough to feel it. Pain will travel through families until someone is brave enough to feel it. Sit in the process with God. Show up for your story. God, show me what you have for me in this. Show me what you want me to be in this situation. So I'm going to read this. Daisha, everybody knows Daisha and Larry. Daisha, this is a heavy story. This is a heavy story. I remember a year and a half ago and when you guys sat down with us and shared this, and this is a pretty vulnerable, incredible, beautiful story, and I want to read it. I'm already moved and haven't even started. This will be long, so I'm sorry in advance. My life has literally been a lifetime movie. When I was 4, I remember waking up to my mom passed out with blood all over her face from getting beat by my dad. He struggled with drug addiction and always took out his anger on my mom. It got so bad that he sold me and my 3-year-old brother to a woman in a crack house for drugs. I still remember the room the woman locked us in. And I had to be strong for my brother while he cried. My mom and granny went from crack house to crack house and finally found us. That was my mom's last straw, and she left him 6 months pregnant and struggled to make ends meet for us. My dad would always find us, and we had a routine. My mom taught us to run out of the house and scream 911 whenever he found us. This happened several times until they finally put him away in prison. My mom worked several jobs and had to rely on family members and friends to help watch us. One night, I was staying with my aunt and uncle, and he came in, woke me up out of bed, and molested me. I was so confused and hurt for my mom because she was working so hard to support us, and I felt I had let her down by getting hurt. My mom eventually married my stepdad and he took care of his kids. He gave us the life financially that we dreamed of, but he was not very present because he worked so much. Then I started to be molested at 12 by my 20-year-old cousin. By 14, he began raping me. He ended up being sentenced to 10 years in prison. After being hurt again and again by men I loved because they were family, I just shut down. I got into a relationship with my daughter's father that was abusive and mentally exhausting. I thought that's what I deserved because I was so broken and tainted. I ended up having 3 girls out of wedlock with 2 different men. I was so lost. Eventually, after I had my 2 daughters, my father called out of the blue, and in that moment, I forgave him. I needed a man's love so bad from my father. I needed him. I agreed that if he promised to go to rehab and get clean, he could live with me. To this day, he has been clean for 10 years. And is the best poppy to my girls. With all the hurt I went through, my mom dealt with guilt and anger. She had no relationship with her own mom, who put her out at 14 to leave with a man. We had family pain and generational brokenness for over 20 years. So let's move on to today. But God, with a lot of exclamation points. I gathered the courage to leave my abuser and marry the love of my life that I had prayed for, Larry. I not only have the best husband in the world, but my girls have a father who loves and respects them and their mom. My dad received a kidney after only being on dialysis for 2 years, which is unheard of. We got to meet the little precious boy's family and thank them for the gift of life for my dad. I tell my dad daily how blessed he is and that he has purpose in this world. I now finally have a relationship with my meemaw, who I hadn't seen since I was 10. Forgiveness is hard, but so necessary. My girl's dad calls me and Larry now for advice and thanks us for taking care of his girls and asks me to forgive him. Those are words I never thought I'd get. So beautiful. My girls are amazing and loving, even though they saw so much of my abuse and had to help me cover up so many bruises and hide holes and walls for me. God is so good. We are now in the process of buying our first home and trying to have a child of our own. My story will be someone's victory one day. And I know that everything I went through was only to better me and mold me into the woman I am today. This is my testimony. Pain will travel through families until someone is brave enough to feel it. We have more testimonies throughout the month that will continue to come in. The healer is within us. The healer is within us. The healer of the broken heart. The one tethered to the past with unforgiveness. The healer is locked up inside of you, wanting to get out. God wants to duplicate these stories. God wants to duplicate. When we share them, we set an atmosphere. It's a supernatural atmosphere. And activation begins in a way that we perhaps aren't even aware is possible. But God is calling us as a people to allow the activation to occur in each one of us. Not just depend on John having a word or Joshua Fowler coming with the prophetic word, but the word is nigh you. It is near you. The word is within you. He is the word. He's the living word. And we are his living testimony. He's writing right now on someone's heart the miracle that you've been believing for. He's writing it on your heart right now. In your mind, he is unlocking memories that have held you captive. I declare, I set you free today. In the name of the Lord, I declare you are set free from every point of brokenness. You are set free from the abusers in your life. You are set free from the men of God that broke your spirit. Pastors that hurt you. You are set free right now. And I just release this ability to forgive. Forgiveness. Forgiveness, forgiveness. God, I don't want to let go of this, but I will. I surrender this pain to you. I'm not going to hate that person anymore. I'm not going to hate them anymore for bringing this pain in my life. There's sickness, disease in the room with a grip on you. But I want to declare to you that cancer is illegal. I give you permission. Hear me. I give you permission to be healed right now. Right now. So this is how I'm going to end this. I'm deputizing everybody in the room. I want the people that stood earlier that need God in your life, that it will take God to accomplish what you're believing for. You can never do it on your own. It will take a supernatural encounter for you to experience. I want you to stand back up. Those of you that stood up before, stand up. Okay, so everybody else? Okay, there's so many of you. When you get done, someone's going to pray for you. Then once they're done praying for you, you're released to go and pray for somebody else. Because this is going to take a few minutes, and it's 12:16, and I don't care, because God is in the room, and work is breaking out. Supernatural release comes in the room right now. So I'm going to go play some worship music, and while I play worship music, healing is breaking out right now. And I want everybody else in the room, you are qualified. You have the authority. You have the ability to decree with your mouth and command sickness to leave. You have the ability to decree the healing balm over brokenness in one's life. So I release you right now. You go. Go. You go and just let the sound of declaration rise in the room right now as you begin to pray for people.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.